I'm Brandi Cruz, and this is Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42. Stay and fight. Sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that and get involved in the political process in Washington State. It was a jam-packed week in Olympia, and it kicked off with a rally on the steps of the state capitol that I was part of. The rally was in support of the two Let's Go Washington initiatives that so far Democrats in the majority party have refused to give hearings to. The initiatives, which absent some sort of action from the legislature are going to go to voters in November, would protect parental rights in education and would also protect girls' sports by prohibiting biological boys from competing against girls in public schools.
This is one of the things that inspired me. At first I heard Riley Gaines talk about her experience in a locker room where biological adult men were coming in while she was undressing and she was so uncomfortable. And my dad brain went, oh my gosh, if that was my daughter. And then she said, where are the dads? And my kids have graduated. We lived here in the state. My kids went through all the school system here and are now in other states. So this isn't something that impacts me on a daily basis, but my dad's soul was impacted by this. Where are the dads? And I felt like we had to stand up for our daughters to protect them and begin this dialogue.
In May of 2024, I stood on a podium and was handed this second place ribbon while a boy stood above me and was awarded first place. That moment wasn't just about a race. It wasn't just about losing. It was the moment my family and I realized that this was deeply wrong. It was the moment that I understood that fairness, safety, and respect were being taken away from girls and that it could happen to any girl. I didn't know it then, but this ribbon represented the beginning of my courage. Yay. I've always been the quiet girl. I don't like attention and I don't like to stand out. But that race changed me. It was the moment I stopped being silent. The moment I realized my voice mattered. I never imagined I would be standing here, having to ask leaders, lawmakers, and adults to fight for me, for my friends, and for girls all across Washington State.
Following that rally, in lieu of official hearings, Republicans in the House and Senate held listening sessions hearing from individuals who supported the initiatives.
Our daughter ran away from home and has now been missing for more than 2 months. She is 16 years old. She has multiple intersecting mental health needs, but the school and Washington State narrowed their focus to gender alone, sidelining the full scope of what she was experiencing. Without our knowledge or involvement, steps were taken, leading our daughter to believe our home was an unsafe environment for someone experiencing gender dysphoria. What our family experienced did not unfold in a single event. It unfolded across multiple instances, agencies, and decisions, all occurring while our child was experiencing significant vulnerability. At each stage, we acted as engaged parents, seeking coordination and support. At no point were our parental rights terminated or limited by a court finding of unfitness. Despite this, access to information, records and timely notifications became increasingly restrictive in practice.
While the listening sessions weren't closed off to the public, no one opposed to the initiatives showed up to speak to Republican lawmakers. The other big story of the week was the official introduction of the long-awaited millionaires tax, an income tax on people making over $1 million a year. Democrats have introduced their version in the legislature. It's a version that Governor Bob Ferguson, although he supports the idea of a millionaires tax, says he isn't fully on board with yet.
When I announced my support for millionaires tax back in December, right here, many of you were here for that conversation, I said a significant percentage of the revenue must go directly back into the pockets of Washingtonians. I reinforced that message in my State of the State address a few weeks ago, in which I said a significant percentage of these revenues must go back into the pocket of Washingtonians. The current proposal is not close to achieving that important objective. I want to be clear that as governor, my focus will be that we are listening and hearing the voices of many, many Washingtonians who are struggling right now and having a lack of affordability in our state. And We need to address that head on and to hear those voices and make sure we are putting a significantly bigger percentage of the dollars from the revenue from the millionaire's tax back into the pocket of those Washingtonians.
The first public hearing on the income tax proposal was held on Friday in front of the Senate Ways and Means Committee, and it was a packed house. In fact, more than 60,000 citizens registered their opposition to the bill before the hearing, making it officially the most unpopular bill from a pro-con standpoint in state history. Here's a little bit of the testimony against the income tax proposal.
If this legislature wants progressive income tax, it should send an amendment to the voters for their decision.
This tax isn't limited to millionaires. It applies to household earnings over $1 million, including small businesses and pass-through high-earner incomers.
Taxes and fees have piled on relentlessly. Watching care deductions, sales tax on services, gas carbon fees, car tab hikes, and more. Yet reports show no fix for our multi-billion dollar deficit or relief for families.
You've already decided what you're going to do, and nothing said here will stop it. My hope is that the fools that continue to re-elect you will finally wake up and realize this one truth when this tax eventually hits them too.
Small businesses remain undercapitalized, disproportionately burdened by regressive taxes, and without permanent codification to the CRP at $100 million per biennium, targeted B&O tax relief for all Washington state small businesses, and expansion of the working family tax credit, we cannot in good conscience support this measure.
Here's some of the testimony in favor of the income tax proposal.
A business can only be as strong as the community it serves. It's better to grow the pie than to fight about slicing it. I'm willing to pay this tax. I should pay this tax. Others like me should pay this tax.
We all want our kids to grow up healthy, but many people are unaware that the major contributors to health, even greater than genetics or health care, are the social determinants of health, that is, the conditions in which we live, learn, work, and play.
We believe that flexible, unrestricted cash is the best way to address the root cause of poverty. To balance our state's upside-down tax code, we need to raise progressive revenue and decrease taxes for working people through tax credits.
I am very grateful for this credit and use mine to pay my phone bill for a year in advance for my husband and I.
One other thing I want to get to that happened this week are hearings on two bills dealing with the homelessness crisis. One would expand the idea and funding for Housing First at a time when President Donald Trump and the federal government want cities and states to move away from the Housing First model, which really has been a failure in most blue states that have tried it. The other bill would prohibit cities from having their own policies when it comes to homeless camps and when those camps can be removed. It would essentially limit local authority to do so when affordable housing options aren't available. But there are some concerns that this could lead to an explosion in homeless camps in places like parks.
So if it's a Little League baseball field or a soccer field, somebody sets up a couple tents on a soccer field, the kids come to do their game or whatever. Is this basically forbidding them from removing them from the soccer field?
So the bill does not define what public property is, although, you know, generally I would say if it's owned by the local government, that would be public property. So it would apply to that situation. So a park, that's a public park.
That has been Politics Unpacked on this fourth week of the legislative session. We're gearing up for number five. I'm sure it will be another busy one, so we'll break it all down on Undivided throughout the week as things happen, and then, of course, a wrap-up with the next edition of Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42. Stay and fight. Sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that and get involved in the political process in Washington State. And to catch regular episodes of Undivided Monday through Thursday, make sure to become a subscriber at UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com, and follow us across all social media platforms.